Hi, it's Diane, and I'm very excited for my new book, Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders. Check it out on my website, visionsapplied.com/meditation. Now, on with the show.
If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Welcome, everybody, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. And of course, I'm Diane Allen, your host, and I have an amazing guest for us today and some great questions for her. I'm so excited. The person that I have today is a systems expert, and she is a geek about productivity. And I love that she uses the word geek to describe herself, because we're all geeks, right? She impacts driven entrepreneurs, and she helps them get more productive, which we all need some of that, right? She also helps them stop losing their money. I call it like letting the drain go. And she also helps people live in a non-stressful manner. How about that? And the cool thing is, this guest today is an engineer who is a productivity expert who has created this amazing company and this amazing place for those of us who are bright and sensitive and gifted to put a framework around our vision. In fact, that's the name of her company, Vision Framework. How perfect is that, right? So I'd like to introduce to you this amazing guest that we have today who's going to help us with our systems, our overthinking, and whatever other questions I come up with. And her name is Marina Darlow. Welcome, Marina.
Hi, thanks for having me here. I'm blushing here and trying to put myself back from embarrassment. You introduced me in such brilliant terms. Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes, well, it's great to have you here. And as you know, we've discussed before the show that the Someone Gets Me podcast is all for the people who are visionaries and the people who maybe overthink a little bit. And there's all different kinds of things happening. And I, after speaking with you, I'm like, oh, you're perfect to really help some people get some nuggets of solution and inspiration. So that's going to be our focus today. I have a question to start with, and we'll see where it goes. Has there ever been a time in your life, professionally or personally, where you could see solutions to things and you had a way to get to a goal and people around you didn't necessarily understand or get you, and then you had to figure out how to communicate that in a way they could understand it?
Oh, where do I start? I think the most painful experience was during my first job in the US. I was working as a project manager in a big engineering company. And my boss was the kindest man, very professional, really like a great, great guy. And we had a horrible communication problem. I remember that I would say, I talked to our marketing representative in Germany, and I asked if in the next 24 hours we can present them with our current findings and see if there are any concessions we could make, because they asked them. And he would hear, Marina offered to make concessions, and now there's no way back. And he would like be very unhappy with me, and then it would be an hour of explanations that no, I didn't make anything. I only said that we're going to respond to their request, and we're going to analyze the data, and we're going to present the findings, and that's it. Ultimately, the way to combat this kind of communication issue was to write everything down and be as clear as possible, kind of develop a language that would work for both of us. The good point there was that it kind of spread throughout the entire team, because there were engineers that were pulled in a bajillion different directions. It was a matrix organization. Never worked for a matrix organization if you can avoid it, because you have more than one boss. The solution, again, was to be as clear as humanly possible. This is your framework. This is what you're supposed to do today. This is what you're supposed to do tomorrow. These are the outcomes that we hope to get to. This is how your work plays along with the work of John, the other engineer. So as clear as day, and if there are any questions, my door is open. Please come to me. We'll talk it over. We'll explain each other again. Just don't hesitate. So that was that. On a personal front, I was actually pretty fortunate most of the time because the loved ones that I'm blessed with do get me, like to a degree where I don't necessarily need to talk and they get me.
That's a real blessing too, because a lot of people are feel like they're the only ones in their family. You know, like I remember when I was younger, I thought, well, maybe I'm an alien or something because I don't fit in with any of these people around me. And it wasn't until I started finding other people that I realized I had that gift, you know, and that it wasn't because there was something wrong with me. And a lot of people have that. So that's a real fortunate thing that you had a family who really got you all the way along, you know?
You know, speaking of family, what you said made me think. It's kind of the opposite of what you unfortunately experienced. But when I started this whole entrepreneurship journey, or even before that, I was scared out of my mind that my family, my parents, my partner won't get me. That I'm doing something like some harebrained scheme. I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. Who am I to start a company? Normal people work for normal corporations, get a salary, and don't do something incoherent such as, what do you mean you'll be a productivity expert? What, you're some kind of a coach? Like, who does this? And I was really, really afraid that this would be the reaction that I get. Because the way we grew up, we kind of were groomed to go to school and then to a university and get a degree and get a good job. And that's what everybody did. But when I started, I got a ridiculous amount of support that I still cannot believe that I deserve. I don't know how I would survive without it. I realized that may not be a common experience, but I had so much fear about not being accepted and not being understood. These fears proved to be unfounded when it came to my closest people.
That's interesting, because sometimes those inner fears are so real, you know, and nobody's going to get me. And even though there will be people who do get us, and it is a complete divergence. I was raised with that. Go to school, make straight A's, go to college, get a degree and get a couple of degrees, and then be successful and work for whoever I was going to work for. And I did the went to school, got college and degrees, and then I did the working for other people, kind of like you did. And it wasn't big companies as much, but it was, you know, larger organizations. And then now I'm, no, I got to follow my vision. I have to follow this. Some people are like, welcome, great, I'm glad you kind of woke up. And other people are like, what are you doing? That's crazy. So it's very interesting to watch the different paradigms different people come from and how they, you know, express it to us. So that's really cool. How do you deal with procrastination?
My procrastination or other people's procrastination?
Yes, to both of those. Like, how do you personally, you know, because procrastination is a big thing and it comes from fear often, or maybe not feeling I can get it done in time, so I just don't do it at all, or all of those things. But how do you deal with it? Like, you are a productivity expert and you're a geek about this stuff. I have the sense that you probably have some little nuggets of things that you either do personally and or you share with your clients that our listeners would really appreciate. Like, how do you handle it? And what do you do to stay productive when procrastination is kind of like hovering over you? Like, what do you do?
So there are a few layers to the question. Mm-hmm. First of all, I set up my own systems to try and minimize procrastination. And by systems, I don't mean anything bombastic. What I really mean is I have a pretty clear map of my week. I know that on Mondays I do X, and on Tuesdays I do Y, and on Thursdays this is the day when I do a lot of client work, and on Fridays I have, you know, my accountability buddy, so we do writing together, and so on and so forth. So I have good anchors throughout my week where I know what I'm going to be doing. When you know what's going to happen, it's easier to get in a certain mindset. If I really don't feel in general doing admin tasks, but I know that Friday afternoon is my admin time, I'm like, okay, that's the time. That's what I'm going to do. So it helps just kind of coming into my morning, or opening my computer and knowing that, oh, I need to write a blog post or I need to do some pitching. But that only takes me so far. If I still procrastinate, I try to pinpoint the reason first and foremost. just as you said, very often it's fear because it's something that I've never done before, or because it's something that I consider myself really bad at, or it's something that pushes me out of a comfort zone and makes me feel exposed. And then there are various coping strategies. Sometimes I want to talk to a trusted person who would help me get through my fears, and then it kind of flows better to a point where I literally would call someone that I trust and say, could you please just sit here and hold my hand when I write the first paragraph of my blog post? Because I cannot get myself through. Like, please, I will tell you in 5 minutes. As far as I'm concerned, you can do your own thing. You can respond to emails. Just please be there with me and let me know that, you know, you're holding my hand virtually or not. And that really helps. In other cases, you know, the procrastination is because you're bored. It's not necessarily because you fear. It's because, like, you really don't feel like writing a guide to whatever, kitchen litter boxes. It just came out of a meeting with a client who deals with cats as her enterprise. And you don't really feel that you want to write this guide. So I do, when I'm in this situation that I'm just really bored and I procrastinate because I don't feel up to the task, I try Pomodoro, which is to say, I put, you know, a timer for say 20 minutes and I work. And I know that for 20 minutes I work, and for 15 minutes, let's say, I take a break and I surf the internet, I go on Facebook. And then 20 more minutes I work again, and then I rest for 15. Now, the times, by the way, they're very personal, and they also depend on a task. Sometimes it works really well for me to work for 40 minutes, and then rest for 5, and then work for another 40. Sometimes, and that's probably my favorite, this Pomodoro kind of gets me going. So say the second or the fourth cycle, I'm like, okay, I'm just going, just no breaks. That's it. I'm just going to finish it. And it kind of helps me get into my groove and do stuff. And I think the third really, really effective way to beat procrastination that's not always possible, but I find it's probably the most effective, is similar to the first, but it's do it with someone. Do it in conversation. Make it more fun. You know, do your taxes over coffee with a friend. Stuff like that. Kind of make yourself more engaged.
Well, and what you're saying is allowing yourself to be more connected to the people who are in your corner, whether it's virtually or somebody right with you. And, you know, one of the things I say to my people a lot is connection is the correction. And that's what's going through my head as you're speaking, is that when we're connected to others, then our brains like that better because we're pack animals, and it helps support us as we're doing what we're doing. And I think it decreases the boredom you're talking about too. And so I like that solution about, especially about being virtually connected. You know, like sometimes people think, well, I'm by myself, I work by myself or whatever. I'm like, well, you know, that's when it's good to have Zoom, or it's good to have a way where you can have a human around, even if they're not physically right there, that you can still get the connection. You know, I like that. That's really great. That's great, great, great suggestions. Thank you so much. And what goes with this also is a sense of being overwhelmed. I just had a person on the podcast that I interviewed last week, and he is really great at managing his business. He's amazing. And then I'm going to have somebody who's a productivity person, along with other things, that I'm interviewing later on this week. And so all your shows are going to be kind of next to each other. And I didn't realize that. And I'm like, how cool is this? Because all three of you have very similar synergistic pieces of some very important puzzle pieces, you know, and pies here. So overwhelm is a big one. I know I get overwhelmed really easily if I have a million things to do and I don't have it all scheduled and I don't have a framework that I'm working on. If I let things get too random and try to be, oh, I'm spontaneous and I'm random, I can find myself floundering. And so I use a scheduling system that's all in color because it has to be pretty. Mm-hmm. And it helps at least keep the basic framework going. Sometimes I miss things or I move them, but generally speaking, I do it that way. And yet I know a lot of people who stay overwhelmed, and I can even get overwhelmed with a calendaring system where the list is still way longer than what I can even fit in there. Or at least I think it is. Usually that's not what happens, but that's like my brain kind of lies to me. And I have some clients that are all concerned about overwhelm. So, you know, I thought, oh, wow, Marina's a perfect person to ask about things that you might suggest to, you know, help somebody kind of decrease the overwhelm or be able to focus in the midst of it, or something to help kind of stop that energy leak.
I love how you frame overwhelm in terms of energy, because I think this is the best way to A, describe it, and therefore B, to combat it. Because, you know, after all, overwhelm is an emotional state, an energetic emotional state. For me, and believe me, I get my share of overwhelm, I'm running my own business. And in a way, I'm not the like super extroverted, outgoing person. So the requirements to be visible in itself, it's not something that comes natural to me. So overwhelm is always kind of around the corner. So for me, and for what I usually try to teach my clients, first, we try to set up systems so there would be less overwhelm to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. So things would be more predictable whenever possible. Payments, admin stuff, all these things that kind of bite at our attention, I try to make systems to decrease that in the first place. But because we said that overwhelm is emotional, there's another component. And this is something that took me quite a few years to get, like to fully internalize. And it's a belief that I am a capable person, and whatever overwhelm you throw at me, most of it I can deal with if I put my mind to it. It's important enough so that I want to repeat it. It's not some like woo-woo self-suggestion. It's a true conviction based on experience. And of course, it's also self-fulfilling. Hey, we're talking about you. You are a capable person. You know that. If you doubt yourself, go and look in your feel-good folder, which we could talk about separately. But please remember, when you're overwhelmed, that you've dealt with overwhelm before, and you always, 99% of the time, you were fine at the end. So just that realization puts me in work mode. Instead of like, oh my God, I don't know, what am I going to do? Like, I can't find myself in the room. I'm not sure what to start. It was just so overwhelming and I feel so helpless. Instead of that, you know, like a few deep breaths, I'm like, okay, we're working now. We're taking everything that comes at me. We're making a list or maybe a mind map. You know, some people hear lists and that makes them whittle and die. But we collect all the information. We write it down, you know, by hand or virtually or however. We'll look at it. We break it down. We decide what we do first. We decide what we do next. We decide what we outsource. We decide what we ignore and delete. And after just that process, things suddenly become much clearer, much more predictable, and in general, far less frightening. So your emotional state becomes way calmer, like from being all over the place and confused and kind of lost, you become, I hate to use this word in the context, but you become collected. You kind of feel more together and you become able to work through things. And then overwhelm is not as frightening anymore. And the next time you get overwhelmed, you're conditioned to remember that, hey, you can do this. You've done it before, you can do it again. And you have a process to follow.
I love that idea. And to remember that we've done it before, we've all lived through it at least, you know, 100,000 times already. Yep. You know, it's not like we have to be all concerned about, oh, I've never done this, because we've all done it many times. And so would you elaborate a little bit more about what you just mentioned about the feel good folder? What is that?
Oh,
I'm curious about that.
You work with extremely gifted people. And by the way, I find your work incredible. Like, I find it so exciting, so grateful that people like you exist, because you're truly there to bring the gems of humanity and kind of help show the gifts to the world, like help them come into reality. That being said, in my experience, the more gifted the person is and the more difficult it is for someone to fit within their surroundings, the more self-doubt and self-sabotage there's involved. Now, I run my own business, and as I said before, being visible, putting my name on a map really doesn't come natural to me, to the degree of when I was practicing my first sales conversation, the person next, in a very safe environment, the person next to me said, Marina, please don't have a panic attack, because I was close to it. So self-doubt and the demons that this voices in my head that tell me that, who do I think I am, and I'm not going to make it, and nobody wants me, and I'm worthless. I'm unfortunately pretty familiar with them. And I noticed again that the sensitive, the gifted, the truly exceptional people have to face these demons more than your average person. I stole this strategy from a woman who is a computer science star. And what it is, it's essentially collecting evidence to the fact that you're okay, that you're valuable, that you have worth, that you can help others. And essentially, every time somebody says something that validates my experience, for instance, a testimonial from a client, a blog post from my favorite author that really, really validates my experience, or, you know, a friend that says, you made my day for whatever reason, because, you know, I showed her how we went through our home purchase experience and now she's going through this and I kind of showed her some pointers. I collect all these things into a folder. For me, it's in the email. And sometimes when, in the words of that computer science woman, when I need to close the door of my office and cry for a couple hours, I look there. That's, you know, that's my way of reassuring myself that there's enough in my past, in my experience, in myself, there's enough good and worthy there that I could continue.
That is brilliant. I love that. I know that I have this little section in my office where I have some art that a couple of my artist clients have made for me over the years. And one person wrote me this little tiny note on a piece of white paper and he just wrote it in black ink and I framed it, you know. It's kind of in this one spot. It's kind of like, I call it like my wall of honor that, you know, that there's no accident and how honored I get to be in their lives, that when I'm wondering on those days, is anything I do going to even doing any good in the world? That's my reminder. So I love the idea of having a folder, especially on like your email or a folder. I was picturing like on my desktop or whatever with all those things in it. Cause you know, that way you have it in more than one venue, you know, it's not, you know, maybe it's a physical thing, but maybe it's just an email or it's a comment. And those are important, I think, to keep track of, because you're right. Every gifted person I know has a big struggle with self-doubt and worry. And most people would think, well, that's not the case. They're so gifted. They don't have any doubt. Not the case at all. Because they're gifted, they have more doubt. And it's really, really sometimes crippling for some people, and which is why part of my work is helping them build a foundation that's so strong. And even when those doubt clouds come through, they're like storm clouds, like, you know, and they just fly through instead of hang there. And so I like that the electronic version of it a lot, because, you know, a lot of us are on our computers all the time and we have a way to say, okay, save that email or copy and paste this to a Word document and save it so that we can be reminded. You know, I love that.
I'm a systems person, so I really want to add, this is a good example also of a good system, which means everything is easy to make and accessible. Just like you said, right? Mm-hmm. A testimonial comes into your email or, you know, it's on some website and you can easily copy and paste it and email to yourself. You don't need to put an extra effort to enter the information. You also don't need to put any extra effort to get this information when you need it. It's right there. Right? It's right there with you. And just like you said, you're on your computer all the time. Whenever you need this feel-good stuff, it's accessible. It's right there. No extra steps.
I love that system. I'm glad you said that, because I know one of the things that I struggle with, and people bring it to me too, and I'm always working on this, is that extra step part. Like, okay, well, I have testimonials everywhere, but if you were to ask me where they were, they're starting to collect them in the same place, but they're like on this website or that email or this over here. And so I'm starting to consolidate everything so that I spend less time looking for what I know I have somewhere. Because as visionaries, you know, the order of things, we need people like you who can help us with the order and productivity, because that's not always worth firing 100% in our brains. You know, I'm better at it as I get older, but whew, boy, there were times where I'm like, all right, here we go. Oh, okay. So I like that idea. I'm going to start doing that. Thank you. A little bit of a different question, but I think it's an important one. Really, it's more of a story. I know that you worked in a big conglomerate and you're an engineer, you're well educated, and then something must have happened in order for you to say, oh, I think I'm going to leave that security and go over here and launch my own business, and I'm going to do this thing. And so will you tell us a little bit about how that, or when that insight came, and how you made the transition, and kind of what was going on within Marina that did that? And what would you tell a new person, like somebody who might be listening right now, who's going, wow, you know, I really want to do that, and but I'm not sure what to do. So from your story, what could you help, and maybe if somebody's thinking about it?
At some point, I was really burnt out. It started there. I was burnt out. I worked crazy hours, you know, 11, 12, 18-hour days. It was so bad that when there was a big layoff, I publicly went on Facebook and said, the project management chapter of my life is finished. That's it. So much so that I went 180 degrees and did a degree in interior design in RISD. Now, in the middle of the degree, I also worked with, I came to her as a career coach because I wasn't completely sure what it is that I'm doing with my life. The interior design was really cool. I went there because within that public announcement, three completely independent people said, oh, you're going to do interior design now. I'm like, what? Like, well, you know, you always give advice. I'm like, oh, okay, let's take a class. So I took a class and then another class and then started working with a career coach. And that woman asked me, as part of our work, how would you like the world to be changed as a result of your impact? I don't want to tell the answer because it's kind of personal. It made me think. And then somewhere in the middle of my degree, a friend needed help with her therapy practice. She was swamped with clients, which is a very good problem to have. And she couldn't figure out how many hours she should work, how many clients she could take on, how much she would charge because she was going off insurance at that point. And for me, that was a very comfortable territory. I was like, this is what you do. Here's your spreadsheet. You know, you plug in numbers here. You see what it spits over there. If you take on 20 clients, this is how many hours a week you're going to work. With the program that you're currently, you know, I helped her design with group and individual people, like, this is how many hours, this is how much money. If we change the numbers a little bit, this is going to go up by 50%, and so on and so forth. And the fact that this kind of help was, I quote, like, Marina here's blown my mind. We were on a Skype call with more people. And at first I thought she's mocking me, but she was sincere. So for me, the realization that something like that could be needed and valuable was really a revelation. And my career coach was kind of making a shift of her own. She was, you know, she was moving into the direction of business coach. And basically she dragged me by the ear into entrepreneurship because me kicking and screaming for about a year into the process, because like, where am I going to take my, where I'm going to get clients? I'm not built for entrepreneurship. I'm not the right personality. I'm not the right, you know, character. I don't have the inner strength. What are my family going to think? I'm going to be a disappointment. All these wonderful things. But this is how my business was born. That therapist friend took, you know, told her other friends, and word of mouth became kind of crawling around the small state of Rhode Island. And within 5 months, I had a full practice, which was amazing. Like, I couldn't believe it's actually happening to me. It would be very tempting to finish the story on this optimistic note. This is not what happened. We moved to a different city and I had to start all over again and ultimately became completely virtual. So to your question, what would I tell the people who are just thinking about it? I would say get as much support as you can. Stay in your job, unless it's completely sucking the soul out of you, for the next, you know, 6 to 18 months before your business has legs on the ground. If you can afford it, work with a good coach. This is what really helped me both times. My first coach was really good at helping me building, you know, kind of on the ground business. And she was completely helpless when it came to virtual business. Now I have someone who's, you know, guiding me through the online space to build business in a worldwide web. Know that if you are into entrepreneurship, there will be huge ups and downs. Kind of be prepared for that. Work with someone if you can from the get-go. Get people to be on your side, whether it's colleagues or a mastermind, or you know, your business buddies. Try to surround yourself with people who do get you. And, you know, stock up on a lot of mental resilience.
Mental resilience and emotional resilience as well, because those ups and downs, we can sit here and talk about those all day long. And until you're feeling them and you've lived through some of that, you know, there's no describing it in words. I don't believe. And I like that mental resilience. I think that's what we all need. Because I'm down here in Tampa Bay and we have a lot of entrepreneurs in this area. In fact, I think we're like in the top of the country as far as lots of entrepreneurs in a certain region. And we have a very, very supportive entrepreneur business team, growth groups, and all kinds of things. And so I feel really lucky where I am that I'm surrounded by a lot of entrepreneurs. And at the same time, some of them look at me and they hear what I do and they just shake their head. Like it's still outside of their box because it's a lot of visionary things. And at the same time, I have a lot of support. So it's very interesting that entrepreneurs, I think, come in all shapes and sizes and different ways of looking at it. And some people are very organized and this is what it is and they have their vision. Other people are just kind of way out there. So I think it's important to find the connection with the people that we vibe with or that support us in that way, that get us, because just as many as there might be people who don't get us, there's a ton of people who do get us. Like your first coach didn't understand the online world. So you found somebody who did. And they're both great coaches. They're both really good people. Like I do a lot of work with entrepreneurs in their business. I have one person that meets with me 4 times a week. And I have other people that meet with me once a week or whatever, because it just depends on their need. Each person, when we pay attention to our own individual way to do things, that's when it all works, which is why I like the kind of work you do. And I think it's exciting. So if somebody was to call you and seek your services, share a little bit about what that beginning process is like. What would they have to be prepared to do to engage with you to see if they would be a good match for you or to use your services?
Great question. Thank you for asking. There are two main categories. On one hand, I work with people who really need systems. And that could be a solopreneur that is just starting out and they need some basic stuff like the calendar and set up their email so they don't get a 5-digit inbox and, you know, some very basic money structure. It could also be people who are thriving. Like I had a company with 15, I think maybe 20 people in staff. And they hired me because they had no idea how much money the business is making. I kid you not. Like 7 years organic growth and a textbook example of not having good systems because they discovered the business was losing money. Like, really? Where have you been before that? Like, do you have any kind of tracking system? Oh, I do payroll. And do you know how much money is coming in? It could be people, you know, in any stage of business that they just need systems from the very basic to kind of very, very complex. And I love working with these people. An interesting piece here is that usually people come to me, people in that category, when they either face a significant growth and are like, okay, I'm up for a huge growth spurt. I'm going to have a lot of new clients, or I'm getting into this big new project, or I'm having this big new rollout of my product or software, and I really, really need processes and systems because I cannot fly by the seat of my pants anymore. And this is, you know, this is what we do. We talk what systems they currently have, where it hurts, and we put in place repetitive, easy to use processes and sometimes systems. I often recommend software tools to make their lives easier, basically, when they follow the process. And I kind of train them through and then I hold them accountable for another chunk of time. And hopefully, you know, by the time we're done, they can do it on their own or they have people that they trained to do it for them. The other category is very exciting for me. And these are people who come to me with an idea. They say, I have this amazing concept for a product, for a service, and I need to bring it to life. And I don't know how, because it's just too overwhelming and you're a systems person and you work with creatives and you work with ADHDers and you work with gifted people and you're, you know, help me make order out of chaos and help me launch. And in this case, what I do, I take the idea and we make a project plan together. We break it down. We kind of, you know, map out a path from conception to launch, and we say, okay, in the next month, you're going to do A, B, and C. You're going to whatever, get the molds. You're going to test the product. You're going to see if your production doesn't make any problems, and you're going to recruit a few testers. And then you're going to send the product out to people to test. You're going to collect feedback. You're going to adjust. You're going to see if you need more equipment, and so on and so forth. And this is how we built a timeline, what needs to be done more or less every single day, you know, it depends how granular you want to be, throughout the launch and then maybe after the launch. Who does what when, and how do we keep track? How do we keep everybody accountable? How do we deal with budget? Because if it's a big project, more often than not, you are way too optimistic about budgets in the beginning. So how do we track the money flow? Where do we get the money? How do we spend it? Who is responsible? When everything happens, what are the dependencies? Like, for instance, if I were to build a house, before I put the pillows on a couch, and like, I need to make sure the walls are standing. Like, of course, this is a very childish example, but usually it's so visual. I like giving it. So that's what I do. I literally take somebody's idea and help walk it through to realization.
So that would be like a vision engineer.
I love that, vision engineer.
Huh. I love that because I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, you're an engineer and you're helping somebody engineer, create, put together their vision in that real practical kind of systematic, productive way, right? And so that's a vision engineer. I love it.
You should be writing my copy.
Hey, no problem. I love writing. And that is awesome. I love that. It's so brilliant. What do you like to do for fun?
I read. Recently, a couple years ago, discovered rock climbing. And this has been my physical activity of choice ever since. I'm a huge fan because rock climbing can be translated into so many other areas of life and business especially. Mm-hmm. And I can wax poetic about it for hours and hours and then. But let's just say that it engages your mind and body in the same time. And for me, you know, speaking of engagement, like everything you do in order to be productive, you need to be engaged.
Yes.
And I disliked any kind of exercise for 38 years until I found climbing, 37, I think. And then I was like, wow, it's like my friend said, playing chess with your entire body. And I'm engaged and I love every minute of it. Like I literally can go into the gym when I'm sick and depressed and angry at the world and come out smiling and happy and feeling capable because I was so engaged, because I keep doing it. So yeah, definitely rock climbing.
Oh, rock climbing is great. I love that. And I think about all the different obstacles and how there's such a strategy to it on every level, mentally and emotionally and physically and spiritually too, that it has the perfect translation to business and to life. So that's great.
Yeah. And you know, and you fall and it's not the end of the world. You climb again.
Yeah.
Surprise yourself because you thought you could never, ever get to that particular hole to do that particular route. And you also see the progress very, because the routes are ranked by difficulty. Mm-hmm. So say 6 months ago, you could only do 5.6s and now you can do 5.9s. Mm-hmm. You can not only see it, you can feel it in your very muscles. It's so tremendously powerful. Like it literally makes you feel that change and progress and thriving is possible. It's like it's happening.
Yes, right there. And I what went through my head when you were saying that is that life really is a full contact sport. And it is all about being fully engaged, you know, and being able to say, okay, I'm fully in and I'm going after the result. And if I fall or I don't get it, I'm not attached to it. I just start all over again, which is the brilliance of the teachings of non-attachment. But I love that I just have that, I have that vision of you up and up on the wall. So next time I'm at the gym and I see the rock climbing wall, I'm going to think of you. Go, look, Marina's climbing. Oh, that's brilliant. I love it. I love it. I love it. I would like, as we're coming close to the end kind of our time, and what I really would like is for you to share a little bit about how people can reach you, because you've said some very powerful and very real suggestions that I think have probably moved most of the people who've listened, if not everybody, at one point or another today. And I'm sure they would like to know how to reach out to you. And of course, I'm putting that information in the show notes. And I would like you to say, like, do you like people to email you, or how can people reach you if they want more information and want to follow you? I know you're on Facebook and you write great blogs and things. And so where would you like for people to engage with you?
Oh, everywhere. So first of all, come to my virtual home. It's vision-framework.com. Mm-hmm. Because I make frameworks for visionaries. So vision-framework.com. Find me on Facebook via Marina Darlow, Vision Framework. They both work. Twitter, email me through the website or at marina@vision-framework.com. I answer every email that I read. So I promise it won't go into this big black box of nowhere. So by all means, I love when people reach out. I love connecting with the world. Yeah, please come. I want to know you. I want to meet you.
Oh, that's awesome. And so when you hear something on this show or something that Marina said that really moved you or that you went, great idea, that's when you email her and share that inspiration that you've received from her from this show. And then she can put it in her feel good folder and you can feel good about the fact that you offered authentic feedback to another visionary, another person who is following their vision and doing what their soul knows is right for them, which is what this whole show and all of our work is all about, is all of us standing up and living our vision with that higher light going on. So make sure you let her know that what she said changed your life or inspired you or gave you an idea to inspire somebody else. That's even neater, right? When you pass it on. So make sure you do that. I have one last thing I'd like you to share with us, one last little tidbit that I kind of saved for the end because I think it's a real important topic. And it's the one on overthinking that I surveyed my group. I have a Facebook group. Someone Gets Me is the name of it. You should join it. It would be great. The Someone Gets Me Facebook group, I did a survey and 100% of the people in the group who answered the survey all said overthinking was their number one obstacle. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. I believe them. And so I did a whole series on overthinking and did some things to help with that a little bit. And I always am interested to hear how those of us in the practice of it, like how do we deal with overthinking with ourselves or with a client that's got analysis paralysis because they're overthinking. So could you share just a few little tidbits for us before we close the show and kind of fit that in?
I love this topic. Decision-making in general is a pretty complex process, right? And there are different ways to approach it. One way, if you're overthinking something, you know, kind of usual, kind of what should I have for lunch? Or even, you know, what should I do first in my morning? I like if you're really overwhelmed with this like beehive of thought, set a timer. Say, I'm going to think about it for 5 minutes. And then when the timer's gone, I'm going to reach a decision. And this kind of really focuses you. And it also calms down this buzz that, oh, I'm going to think about it. And like overthinking is my constant problem. And you kind of like have no escape. When you know that you have a limited time to think about a problem, very often the solution kind of comes to mind. Like you are in a different mindset. You're in the mindset of finding a solution rather than just coursing through various options. Now, sometimes they're like really kind of big decisions where you have pros and cons. For instance, if I need to find a school for my child, and I surveyed 5 schools, and all of them have pros and cons. I put them in tables. I gave weight to every single concern, and then I did the math. And then when I did the math, I kind of took the temperature, almost literally, like how does it feel in my mind and body, and then I make a decision. And then, oh, there are a couple more things that I want to talk about. For me, talking it out is an amazing strategy, but that's me. I always tell people that I confide in, like, I'm so much smarter in conversation. Talk to me. The decision will come as I talk. Somehow the words, when you say them out loud, they have more weight. And things that should sound ridiculous, and things that sound reasonable, you can suddenly hear the reason. So you can talk it out. And then there's like really, really big decisions, as in which country should I live in? Like I was in this situation a few years ago when we were deciding whether we should stay in the States or not. And my coach told me, well, there's so many pros and cons and they're all emotional, most of them. It's really hard to make a rational decision because it's not a rational question. How about this? You have two options. Flip a coin. And stay with me here because it sounds really counterintuitive. Flip a coin and then hang out for 3 or 4 days as if you had made this decision. So for instance, if you flipped a coin and it heads, and heads mean that you are staying in Boston, live with it for 3 to 4 days. See how it feels. See how you feel. See if you find it, you know, uncomfortable. See if it makes you regret it. Or maybe you feel a huge sense of relief. And then if you're okay with this decision, you're good. If there are things that bother you, try to live for a few days with the other decision. Behave as if you have made it already and use the coin to, you know, skip the part of actually making the decision.
I love that. That is brilliant. And that is a real tangible, useful thing to help stop that overthinking and get somebody off square one and to give, you know, all of us the permission to say, you know, it's not an emergency. Let's just make the decision, live with it, try it on, see how it fits, and then decide if I need how to move forward from there. I don't have to have the whole answer all the way down the block. I just need to get this next step. That is genius. Beautiful.
Not mine, but I use it.
Hey, that's wonderful, right? So is there anything that I didn't ask about that you wanted to share or any comments or any events or anything you're putting on that you would like to mention or any last closing things that you feel like sharing?
I want to say that the fact that this show exists and that you do your work in order to really bring the gifted people to realize their full potential is tremendous. It's like one of the most valuable things I can think of. And I guess on a more practical level, I would love people to connect with me, follow me, sign up for my freebies. I have really cool free course that's currently on my website. So go check it out because I'm going to be making some awesome free webinars in the next few months. And there's some courses that are now cooking for gifted creative people, how to make things happen, how to be not just more productive, but how to be productive effectively. Namely, you can be very productive, say sorting staples, but how to be productive in an effective way, how to accomplish stuff. So I would love if you stay connected and see what I have to offer as time goes by. And I really, really love being here. And I think that Diane, you're doing incredible work.
Well, thank you so much for that compliment. And thank you for all the work that you're doing, you know, with visionary, gifted, creative people and creating that framework. And I don't think there's any accident that vision is in the name of both of our companies. I don't think there's an accident in that whatsoever. And I'm really happy that you took the time out of your day after having just gotten back into the country to do this interview and share such valuable, tangible things with us that so freely. And it really means a lot to me. And so thank you very much for coming on today. And I cannot wait to hear all the amazing comments and feedback when everybody gets to hear your great input and your wonderful enthusiasm and the guts and courage that it takes to follow your vision and do what you're doing and stand behind other people as they live their vision too. So thank you, Marina.
Thanks.
So everybody, don't forget to keep your face toward the sun so that the shadows fall behind you. And always remember that you're a rock star. Till next time.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.